Country 94.9 FM 95 welcoming Shenandoah to the historic Orpheum Theater in Galesburg coming up this Friday night. And very honored to be joined on the 95 line with Marty Raybon from Shenandoah. Good morning, Marty.
Brother, how you doing this morning? Everything good your way?
Doing great, doing good. And getting set, very excited for the show coming up Friday night here at the Orpheum, a historic old vaudeville theater that was redone in the 80s and restored. And we're looking forward to hearing that great music of Shenandoah from that stage.
Yeah, well, hey, man, we might have to add some Charlie Chaplin stuff to the show.
That's right. Do some silent movie kind of stuff up there. That's right.
Yeah, right on.
Well, very cool. It's not like the Opry stage, but we love our historic Orpheum Theater stage, so hopefully you'll have a great time on that stage as well coming up Friday night. Well, and you know, after spending a lot of time on the road over the years, Marty, what do you enjoy the most about touring these days?
People.
Just being with people?
Always have.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, just being with people and you know, to be honest with you, Brian, that's what keeps us out here. Of course, you know, we got to work to make a living and that
sure.
kind of stuff. We got guys that work with us that's making a living, and but we really do it because we still love it. You know, a lot. I was asked yesterday. I was in Nashville at CMA week, and of course, you know, you do a thing called Radio Row where there's several radio stations
oh, sure, yeah.
that come to town. And anyway, one of the folks asked me, said, "Marty, when are you thinking about retiring? Are you thinking about retiring?" I said, "And do what? Travel?" I mean, you know, I mean, we do that now.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So, if you're traveling, you might as well be doing shows while you're traveling. So there, it's a tour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just keep touring.
So as long as folks still come out and we still got the heart and all that other kind of stuff to come up with new stuff. Got a brand new album coming next year, and we're excited about that. And got an awful lot of good things going on. We got a new record. It's a remake of a new record. Our old buddies Luke Bryan and Jason Aldean wanted to do Sunday in the South. So we recut that and we got that coming
We're playing that one already, Marty. We love that one. That is an awesome reworking of that Shenandoah hit. And I was going to ask you about that song. Was it the song that came first? You wanted to redo Sunday in the South, or was it that you wanted to work with Luke and Jason and you picked the song after you picked the artist, kind of a thing? Which came first, the artist or the song?
Yeah, you know, really, actually, what had happened. You know, we had signed a new record label deal with 8-Track Entertainment, and when we did, Noah Gordon, the president of the label, said, I want y'all to pick four or five of the hits that you had, and record them. And so we did, and so we had a brand new track on Sunday in the South, and I was invited to come up and do one of the 30 songs, Luke Bryan's 30th party.
Okay.
And he was celebrating 30 number one records.
Yes, exactly.
And his management
yeah.
asked if I would come and sing one of the number one records. And anyway, while I was there, you know, I'd ask, you know, I said, hey, look, man, we just cut a track, a new track on this Sunday in the South. Would you be interested in doing this? And so it organically happened. It wasn't anything that was intentionally done. It just happened. And of course, Aldean said, look, hey, you ain't leaving me out of that.
Well,
you know, so anyway, that's really kind of how it happened because years ago, a few years ago, we started getting videos from people that was going to the Aldean and the Luke Bryan show and they were doing Sunday in the South. So I
okay.
knew them well that they knew it and they liked it. And I didn't realize that Luke liked it as much as he did. He claims it's one of his favorite songs. And so I asked him, I said, man, you want to throw a vocal on that? And he said, man, are you kidding me? And I said, man, no, I'm not. And then that's when Aldean said, man, you ain't going to leave me out of that.
That's really how
that happened. It wasn't, you know, that we recorded it or we got together and said, look, fellas, let's pick a song to do. It just kind of fell out. And, you know, tell you the truth. Those are really the best ways they happen anyway, when they happen like
sure.
that, instead of something contrived or, you know, something that, you know, people do what they do to try to make stuff happen. Sometimes, you know, when you force things to make them happen or look a certain way, sometimes they don't always come out real, real good. But man, this came out well. I tell you, both of them old boys, they sang the ink off the paper. Man, they killed it.
They fit perfectly. That's why I thought, well, it was well thought out. It's amazing to hear that it organically happened, that those two guys got involved with the reworking of Sunday in the South, because, again, they just fit so perfectly with that song.
Yeah, man, they did. And you know, it really did. It just really worked out really nice. And we're not even really working it at radio. You know, usually when a song comes out, you got a promotion team and people are – now, I know you know this, but I'm telling this for the listeners.
Sure, yeah, exactly.
You get a promotion team, and what they do, they promote that record and they call radio stations. You know, we're not really doing that. It's just really kind of been like a groundswell. I think it was put out to a couple of places, and before you know it, it picked up here and picked up there and, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. And before it was all over with, and management said, "Man, what you think we ought to do a video on this?" So we actually even got a video coming here in a couple of weeks.
Oh, that's awesome to know. Yeah,
yeah. We're going to try to debut it at Times Square.
Oh, cool! That's incredible. That is awesome.
But the backstory behind that is when we originally cut it 35 years ago, the original cut, the producer. The legendary Rick Hall at Fame Studios here in Muscle Shoals, he said, "Boys, y'all picking this song." He said, "I'm telling you something." He said, "You ain't going to get this song played past the Mason-Dixon line. It just ain't going to happen." Mm. And the first 2 weeks that the song came out, it was number one at YNY in New York. And it was played past the Mason-Dixon line. So, there's a little something to that, you know, to hope to debut it at Times Square. So.
Well, sure, and you know, Marty, we're well above the Mason-Dixon line. I grew up in North Iowa, actually, and I relate to Sunday in the South because my Sundays as a kid was going to one of my grandparents' place. We'd do yard work and help them out and do different things, and we'd just have a big meal together. And it was about family and getting together and spending time, not about running around and going here and going there. It was just about family time, and that's what I get out of the song, even though I'm not from the South. I definitely relate to Sunday in the South. It's just such a great song.
Yeah, you know, because the greatest thing about it is you know, the song, you know, it paints such imagery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you listen to it, you know, it's one of those kind of songs, and I guess that's what really good songs do. I believe they do. You know, in the theater of your mind, you can actually picture, you know, whether it's your event, what you have pictured, or what somebody else has pictured, you know, that's the commercialism in it. You know, you can make it whatever you want to. Look, it reminds me of this, and somebody said, "Well, it reminds me of that." The thing about it is it reminds both of you of something.
Exactly.
You know? And that's really what it does. You know, it paints an absolutely wonderful picture of a Sunday afternoon and being around family the enjoyment of family and the festivities, no matter what those festivities are.
Yeah, exactly. When it comes to the music, you know, there's always conversation about the evolving country music sound and styles. You know, production styles change over the years, but a great song with relatable lyrics, absolutely timeless. And I think that's why Sunday in the South still makes a mark today.
Yeah, I believe that too. Yeah, I believe that too, brother. I really do.
We talked about how the Sunday in the South came together organically with Luke and Jason, but you had another collaboration with Luke Combs that also came about organically with the recording of Two Dozen Roses with Luke Combs.
Yeah, that was pretty special too. You know, that was one of those situations where, again, on their live performances, you know, we kept getting videos and TikToks and stuff like that from people. You know, in fact, my niece had went to the show and she held her phone up and she said, "Uncle Marty, can you hear that?" And of course,
that.
The crowd was so loud, I really couldn't, you know, I could faintly hear it.
Right, right.
She said, Luke Combs is singing Two Dozen Roses.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, so I reached out to Luke. We were at the CMAs last year. And anyway, so I reached out to Luke. I said, "Hey, buddy," I said, "man, would you ever consider or thinking about, you know, doing a duet with us on that tune?" He said, "Man, I sure do like it." He said, "Man, we even do it in our show." I said, "Yeah, people have been sending me some videos of it." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, get it together and get up with me." So we did, and that's how that happened.
Well, that's awesome.
You know, wasn't a big plan meeting in a record label office or anything like that. It was just a few minutes at an award show during a commercial.
Behind the scenes look right there. Yeah, that's awesome. It's the music brought you together. That's what the powerful part about it is. That is great. So you got those two collaborations. Is there a full album of these collaborations with Shenandoah coming out?
No, and that's the thing about it. The album's not the new album's not collaboration.
Okay. Well, you mentioned a new album. I thought maybe that's going to be the collaborations kind of a thing.
Uh huh. Yeah. Well, and that makes sense. To think that, but it's not. We've got some new stuff coming. In fact, we've got a brand new record that's never been released. We're gonna revisit Alison Krauss In fact, I was talking to her day before yesterday, and we were chatting about it. And anyway, so we got a new one coming with Alison that's gonna be on this new album, and some others that we've never recorded. But it just kind of, it was just those kind of things that fell in place. And you think, well, man, you don't want to take an opportunity like this and not take it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And especially if it's going to work out that way, you certainly wouldn't want to, when somebody's wanting to do it, you need to take advantage of it. So we did. And then after you do that, then it's only, you only oblige, the record by putting those on the new product,
And working with Alison is a great idea. You guys won a Grammy Award together, right?
I love Allie. Allie's the one that sent me the tune.
Okay.
She had sent me the tune. Because she and I were talking, and I said, Allison, I said, man, we need to do us another song together. And she said, Marty, we sure do. We really, really, I said, man, we need to find this one. And the next thing I know,
she had
sent me, about 3 weeks later, she'd sent me the one that we did. And with a little note in behind the song, she says, I love this. What do you think? And I said, man, let's cut it. And I tell you, man, it's an absolutely wonderful, wonderful song. So that'll certainly be on the new project as well.
Excellent. Too. Yes. Looking forward to hearing that. Well, the tour that you're on is not only in the States. I understand you were just recently in Canada on this tour.
Oh, we were up in Canada about 2.5 weeks with Sawyer Brown. Man, it was fantastic. Sold out crowds, and man, just a good time. I tell you, old Mark Miller and them boys, man, son, we love Sawyer Brown. Always have. They're such good guys.
They just performed at our county fair a couple of years ago, and they put on a show. It was just incredible. The energy he still has on stage is nuts.
Yeah. I mean, they get after it now.
They do.
They surely do. And just to be up there and to be a part of it, so they asked us if we would, think about coming to Canada with them again next year. So, you get to hanging around with good people and good things are going on right now. We found out we're going to be doing several more of the Country Thunders this year. I say this year, I mean 25.
Yeah, those are huge festivals. Yeah.
The Rock the South, the Hank Williams Jr., Kid Rock, and Lynyrd Skynyrd was announced last week, and we're doing four or five of those. And from what I understand, we got two offers to do two more on that series, and it looks like it's going to work out. So we'll wind up doing probably six or seven of them. It looks like next year's shaping up to be really, really good. And we're excited about all of it. Hey, look, we're excited about coming to Galesburg. We really are. We try to do a high energy show. We like people to enjoy what we do, and we want folks to come out and have fun with us, hooping and hollering, singing along and clapping. And at the end of the evening, if we get people singing along and clapping and just having a good time, and hopefully, 90 minutes or 2 hours, however long we get to pick and sing, then at the end of the evening, we've actually known what we came to do, and that was, for 90 minutes, we got everybody to take their mind off everything else but what's going on, and when they leave, they'll feel like they were a part of a show instead of just sitting and witnessing one.
And don't come to a Shenandoah song sitting on your hands, right?
Hopefully not.
Well, after so many hit songs and selling millions of albums, it's got to be impossible to include everyone's favorite Shenandoah song every night. Do you have to change up the set list quite a bit?
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes. And then we encore, and people still yelling, hey, fellas, look, we doing this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, man, it's really good because sometimes people will yell something that was an album cut.
But it means something to them, and they want to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, well, you know, it wasn't a single, so apparently they had the album, the disc, or whatever. You know, there's a fan. You
mm-hmm.
know, and
definitely.
Okay, hey, man, let's do When You Were Mine. Or
awesome.
Let's do I Was Young Once Too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever they yell out. Hey, sing Under the Kudzu. And, you know, those songs may not be on the set list that night. But, you know, people keep yelling them, keep yelling them, keep yelling them. And then before it's all over, well, hey, we're going to do this one.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
So sometimes I got to stop and think for a minute. Okay, let's see.
How does that one go?
Yeah, because, you know, when you don't do them all the time, you know, you got to,
yeah.
Whoa, okay, how does that second verse start? Before we get started, how does the second verse start?
Well, it sounds like you don't have to worry about it. The crowd will sing along and encourage you along the way. They'll help you out.
Yeah, they will. They'll do it.
Well, I, for one, am glad that I don't have to introduce your songs as being by the Rhythm Rangers. So good job in steering the name of the band to Shenandoah back in the 80s, Marty.
Yeah, man, I am too. But when they gave us a choice between Shenandoah or the Rhythm Rangers,
that being the label gave you that choice.
Yeah, they said, look, we're fixing to go to press with a record, and y'all can't make your mind up what you want to be called. And actually, we did. And it blows people's mind when I say this, but we actually had the name Diamond Rio.
Really?
Yeah, we did. And of course, Brian Prout, the drummer with Diamond Rio, when they were out, well, I mean, they're still out. But anyway, Brian Prout and I were big buddies. And during that time, you know, we were talking. At that time, they were known as the Tennessee River Boys. They were playing out there at Opryland.
Okay.
And Brian and I, when I first moved to town, he and I were in a band together. And he played drums and I sang. And anyway, so he and I, and we continued to be good friends. And anyway, so when they got their deal, I said, man, Brian, be real, real careful about, you know, what y'all do as far as picking a name. I said, because, man, we're getting sued over ours. I said, you know, they did do a trademark search on Shenandoah. And I said, man, it's, you know, we're neck deep in alligators. And I said, man, y'all check that out.
Yeah.
He said, no, we got a name. I said, what is it? He said, Diamond Rio. I said, Diamond Rio? I said, you can't name yourself Diamond Rio. And he goes, why? I said, that's our business name.
Oh, that's crazy. I've never heard this story before.
Yeah. Yeah. See, they, you know, they wouldn't let us. We wanted to use it. And the label wouldn't let us use it. They wanted us to either pick between Shenandoah or the Rhythm Ranger. So, anyway. So
that's weird. Why would they let you use Diamond Rio? I mean, that's an awesome name. I mean,
they said it didn't mean anything graphically. They wanted us to use Shenandoah. That's why they used the Rhythm Rangers. Now, come on. I mean, who in the world wants to be known as a Rhythm
Well,
Ranger?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, oh man, that would not wear well over the years. Shenandoah,
when they said that, I looked at everybody else. I said, fellas, I ain't no Rhythm Ranger.
You at least know, Shenandoah, I mean, has a vibe to it. You get a feeling. There's a good feel about. I don't know why, but when I hear the name Shenandoah, it has a good vibe to it. Rhythm Rangers does not.
No, it was complete. But I, you know, they wanted us to pick Shenandoah was the reason why they gave us the other. But anyway,
so
did was is we liked Diamond Rio so well, we named our business, our LLC, Diamond Rio. And then all of a sudden they started getting our mail and we started getting their mail.
Jeez. How confusing.
So we sold it to them for $1.
Awesome. Well, why did you guys pick Diamond Rio? Why did that name come to you guys originally?
A buddy of ours was actually our first road manager. He came up with it, you know, and you know, a Diamond Rio, it's a truck.
Sure.
He said, man, while this thing's trucking along, so man, y'all like Diamond Rio.
It just sounds cool too.
Yeah, it does, you know, and man, them's good guys too. And anyway, so we were being sued over our name, and we thought, man,
I remember that, yeah.
We're not going to sue them. You know, man, we ain't going to put nobody through what we've been going through.
Yeah, what a mess.
This is ridiculous. No. So anyway, so we sold it to them for $1.
That's crazy. Well, I've heard many times through the years with different artists and bands that coming up with a name is one of the toughest things because you know you're going to live with it. If things go well, you're going to live with it for the rest of your life. So pick wisely, right?
And I mean, a lot of times even over your own name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, people, hey, they're Shannon.
Yep. Yep.
Who? You Shenandoah, ain't you?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Well, you mentioned about being originally from the Muscle Shoals, Alabama area. And Muscle Shoals, like you mentioned, a couple of very famous studios there, big music scene since, like, what, the 60s, maybe 50s and 60s. How much of that music influenced you through the years?
Well, you know, tell you the truth, I wasn't attuned to it. Excuse the pun, but, you know, I mean, it, you know, stuff's going on. And, see, I'm originally from Florida, and I didn't live here. I didn't move here until 1985.
Okay.
And I've been here ever since. But
some of the original members were from the Muscle Shoals area.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I didn't move here, you know, until 1985, and been here ever since. But and a lot of the guys, I knew a lot of the guys that played on those records. You know, some of those Aretha Franklin records and Wilson Pickett, and Otis Redding, and you know, and Nancy Stanton, and you know, Percy Sledge, you know, When a Man Loves a Woman, and the Rolling Stones records,
incredible
and,
songs, yeah.
You know, there was a group of studio musicians, and they called themselves the Swampers, and the Swampers had a laid back, and Aretha Franklin, she said, man, down in Muscle Shoals, they do it down there now. You know, people will say, Well, man, it, you know, I may need to go down there, and that's literally what happened. It's really very historic now. Fame Recording Studio and Muscle Shoals Sound, you know, they have tours that people can go through. Although they're both working studios, you know, they stop for certain hours of the day, and they'll take you on a tour through the studios.
You can see where the magic happened. That's awesome.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, that's incredible.
It is incredible. It's absolutely incredible, and of course that's where we did our first three albums, and that's where we've done our latest album that'll come out next year. We've done our latest album there, and so we kind of come full circle. We came back home. You know, we'd been cutting in Nashville, but we came back to Fame and cut the last record that we got coming out here.
Well, Marty, your background, you grew up with bluegrass. Did you not performing bluegrass music with your family?
Oh, Lord, yeah, I love it. Still love it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I still absolutely love it. Man, I cut my teeth playing bluegrass. I mean, my daddy was a fiddler.
Yep.
And he loved the likes of Kenny Baker and people like that. He loved that bluegrass music too, and he taught us how to love it, and I certainly did. I love it immensely.
Yeah. Do you mix in some of that in the shows?
No.
I
think the roots of where we come from, you know, comes out through
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But as far as us picking a bluegrass tune, we don't.
Well, you know, the music industry is just, it's a crazy industry, the music industry, always has been. When Shenandoah began in 1984 to today, the changes have to be mind-boggling, from vinyl to CDs to streaming, the relationship between artists and record labels, touring logistics, and of course, good and bad come with any change, but what do you think has been the most positive change in the music industry today compared to the 80s when you guys started?
Well, honestly, Brian, the changes. You know, because, you know, anytime, look, and whether people like them or whether they don't, and that's usually what happens. I mean, look, you can go to church and somebody says, man, I don't like them praise and worship songs. I like the old traditional hymn song. Well, I do, too. But I also like the praise and worship songs as well, too, and I like them when they're mixed.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is what that proves is something's still alive and something's still growing, because it still continues to change. And what you don't want to be involved in is something that's dead and stagnant.
No, exactly. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, well, man, let's don't change that. Well, you know, you keep on before it's all over. People, yeah, I've heard that before. You know, it never changes. It's always the same old thing. You know, here comes a new artist. And look, I'll be quite honest with you. I mean, there's a lot of guys that's out right now. I can listen to them on radio. I have no idea in the world who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But I like their song.
You got to start somewhere as a new artist. You got to start somewhere. You got to make your impression and your sound, and you got to make your statement as to who you are as an artist, and then see where it goes, see if the audience likes it or not.
Yeah, and look, again, what that shows is that it's still vibrant and it's still growing. And so therefore, as long as it's growing, there's going to be changes.
Yep. Yep.
And you know, the thing about it is with me, look, I'm a pretty old soul here. I there's certain things on a computer I don't even attempt. You know, or a smartphone. They call it a smartphone. Well, first off, I reckon you got to be smart to use one. And what my problem is, it's not that I can't figure it out. I can't remember what I'm supposed to do this. That's my problem.
Well, you know, as you made mention of a couple of times in our conversation here, there's really been a resurgence of interest of the music, the country music of the late 80s into the 90s, and we're seeing more and more artists of that era out on tour and doing shows and doing new music as well, and it's so great to see and hear that resurgence happening. A lot of that has to do with, because of, like you mentioned, the artists that are currently at, you know, on the charts and doing things like that, they grew up with the music you guys did.
You know, and that's flattering and humbling too, you know, to hear some of these new guys say, man, I was the biggest Shenandoah fan ever. And, you know, T.D., that's the same thing with Luke and Jason, and Luke Combs, you know, and then, you know, you hear them doing your songs on their shows and you get to thinking, man, oh man. But then again, you know, look, we were doing Merle Haggard and George Jones and Vern Godson songs on our show.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I guess it's just a cycle of you know, what goes on and people that you like and stuff that happens. You know, you just, you know, it turns in a circle and before it's all over with, it comes full.
Yeah, and the influence is there. Obviously, the sound of Luke's music and Jason Aldean's music is different, but from your guys', but the influence you guys had on them is there. It still permeates their music today.
Well, you know, and I think a lot of that, we, you know, it's kind of like what we were talking about a while ago. I think it comes right back to what the lyric says, and whether exactly. Whether when somebody listens to it, if they can paint a picture of their mind. You know, it's like two dozen roses. Somebody go, well, man, did that really happen to you? Well, I mean, we didn't write it, but, you know, I guess it probably could happen to somebody. But, mm-hmm. you know, the only way I could tell her that I was crazy about her and ask her to forgive me is, you know, me to, you know, get two dozen roses and an older bottle of wine and just say, hey, look, forgive me. Whatever.
Who can't, you know, relate to that?
However anybody, you know, identifies with songs, the one thing that I don't ever want us to do is to ever tell anybody that's what you're supposed to think about that song.
Mm.
And, you know, that's why a lot of times we leave videos open-ended. You know, don't ever make a video, you know, down to the point that, you know, you trap people into, well, you know, I didn't think that at all.
Yeah, let them have their own interpretation of it.
Yeah, people have got to have their own interpretation, you know, and if you don't, then you take the commercialism out of it.
Marty, it's been so great talking with you, and I am so excited to hear Two Dozen Roses and all the other big songs from Shenandoah at the historic Orpheum Theater coming up this Friday night in Galesburg, and we sure hope you enjoy your visit to the Orpheum and hope the crowd is not sitting on their hands, but up and cheering and singing along and clapping along, and again, looking forward to seeing Shenandoah at the Orpheum again coming this Friday night. Thanks so much, Marty.
Hey, God bless you, brother. We're looking forward to coming, too.